I'm now going to invite Sue Carr from 541 in Hamilton to introduce herself. Sue has the very unenviable task of going after Karen. The good news for Sue and for all of us is that God's grace and God's love is not a zero-sum game. The more we share of it, the more there is. And I trust that God's arithmetic will apply to you as well, Sue, as you share with us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for that kind welcome. And it's awfully good to see some very familiar faces, and in that video to see some faces that I haven't seen for years. Very awfully good. And yeah, I really feel like you don't need to hear from me because your hearts are already in the right place, and I suspect your feet are already walking in the right paths. But hey, I was said I'd do this, so I'll do it anyway. So you're stuck with me just for a few minutes, but I won't talk for very long. That passage that you heard, I come from a tradition where we have pew Bibles, and I didn't bring my Bible, and I thought if I brought my cell phone up here with my Bible on it, it would get embarrassing, and you'd think I was texting somebody, so I didn't do that either. But anyway, maybe I want to refer back to that, but I should say, yeah, my name is Sue. I work at 541 Eastern Exchange, and I pastor the church, the meeting. My Bible's down there. Oh, there's a great big one down there, yes. Oh, there is. Okay, if I get desperate and can't remember the text, I'll refer to it. Thank you. I pass at the meeting place, which is the church that meets on Sunday afternoons at 5:41. That's really all you need to know about me. But I used to work at Mission Services, which is how I know Ruth and a few other people. I was rereading the passage on the... When did we ever do this, God? When did we ever do this for you, Lord? It struck me that if you just go back to the bit before the passage that was read, he's talking about the sheep being on one side and the goats being on the other, which is always terribly uncomfortable, isn't it? I desperately want to be a sheep and not a goat, apparently. Although I rather like goats, but there we are. But it strikes me that it isn't because they're on God's right hand that they did these good things, but rather that it was a reflection of their sheepness, right? It wasn't anything that they did because they had to. It was because they were the right kind of sheep. And it makes you a bit nervous in case you're the wrong kind, but I suspect by virtue of the fact that you are here this morning and that you love people that work at the and help out at the Welcome Inn, that you know you're doing it right. But it did strike me that one of the things in this passage that I overlook is that the sheep are somewhat surprised. When did we do that? I don't think we did do that for you. And I think Jesus is saying it's as we follow him, as we walk with him, that our characters are changed and our sheepiness comes out. The trouble is, and I do actually believe that most people want to be more sheepy than they are. The trouble is that I live in a nice part of Dundas, and the poorest person that comes past my front door is probably the guy on Wednesday mornings at recycling pickup who comes, I call it gleaning, to pick out the very occasional wine bottles that gather themselves at the end of my driveway. He doesn't... Very slim pickings from my house, of course. But the occasional recyclable bottles that I put out outside my blue box so he doesn't have to go through them. He's perhaps the only person that I know in my immediate neighborhood that I could show anything towards. And I don't think I'm alone. And it has come... I used to sort of think, gosh, rich Christians are sort of so isolated and so only interested in themselves. And I actually am beginning to think that really isn't true. It's just that we don't have many opportunities to be sheep, to be good sheep. And I suspect that that's where Welcome Inn and also 541 have a part to play. And where I talk about 541, maybe for you guys, think about Welcome Inn and what you could do there, because that's clearly your adopted mission field. How many of you have been to 541? I know some of you are regulars. Not all of you. All right. Well, for the rest of you, I hope you looked around and saw that your friends and relatives sitting here in the chairs have been, and you can ask them the gaps in what I'm going to tell you about. We've been open for about 4 years. And you're right, in that introduction. We do exist to provide food for people who are hungry. The difference is that I think everybody gets hungry. Everybody wants a good cup of coffee. Everybody wants a decent grilled cheese sandwich. We don't do very fancy things. Everybody wants a fresh salad. Everybody wants cookies that are made right from scratch and muffins that are good and made that morning and scones that are some of the best in Hamilton. I do like to brag a little bit. But the sad thing is that most of those things are available to people who have money. And when you don't have money, you get to eat someplace else. And you get to eat food that was yesterday's food. And you get to sit in a space that perhaps is, they always seem to be dreadful colours and basically painted cement blocks. I know because I worked at Mission Services for long enough and it really wasn't very beautiful. At least the surroundings weren't. And so the idea at 541 is that the people at the margins are drawn to the centre, so that it's not just us that get to have good coffee and good food, but in fact, everybody does. And that the difference is that we eat together. When we gather around the Lord's table, which is at the center of our faith and our understanding of the practice of our faith, we share together, we say that we're equal. It's just that in real life, what we call real life, it doesn't happen that way. And so at 5:41, we say, you know what? If you're hungry, come and eat. And we do that two ways. We make it possible in two ways. One is that we have about 200 volunteers each week who help us prepare and serve and clean up after our service. So there are volunteers who will make you coffee. There are volunteers who will bring the food to your table. There are volunteers who chopped up the vegetables. There are volunteers who made the muffins that morning. And thankfully, there are volunteers who do the dishes. They're my favorite volunteers because I don't have to do it when they do it. It's lovely. I don't get allowed to make coffee, but I do know how to wash dishes, so I get to do that. And then anybody else can tell me the other way that we make it accessible for people to eat? Buttons, yes, we get known as the Button Cafe. Sometimes, this week actually, somebody came in for the first time, and he hadn't heard about us. Well, a friend had told him about us, and he didn't know our name, but he knew us as that button place. So when I explained to him what that meant, and he understood it, he was a bit surprised. You know, he said, "Really? Yep. You have to wait to see if there's buttons, but when there are buttons, you can eat." And the way it works is this: somebody comes in and buys a coffee or something to eat. We'll say to them, "Would you like to buy a button?" And a button costs $1, and you'll give us $1, and we'll say to you, "Put the button across, and you'll take a button from the full jar of buttons, and you'll place it in the almost empty jar of buttons, and then that transaction, it becomes button currency, and that button in the paid-for jar is worth $1 to anybody who comes in and that day wants a coffee or something to eat. And you, if you forgot your purse that morning, you forgot your wallet, could have up to 5 buttons, $5 a day towards anything on the menu. And so I will line up for a coffee, and one of my community friends will line up behind me for a coffee, and they will drink the same coffee or they will have the same cookie that I'm going to get because somebody else in the neighborhood paid it forward. And typically, about $12,500 a month are donated by the community for the community in buttons. That represents about a quarter of our overall sales. So that's quite a significant amount. And honestly, that's not us. That's the generosity of the community of Hamilton providing that for their friend, for their neighbours. And to me, I think what we're providing is the opportunity for sheep to do what sheep should be doing best, which is by being generous and offering hospitality and welcome, just like Welcome Inn does. And so when you come in, you see a regular cafe, and that's great, and it is good food. And we discovered quite early on that there are some other things that we could do too. So one of the things that we have on is a youth outreach worker. Well, to you, I would call him a youth pastor. Depends which funder or audience I'm talking to. But he's a youth pastor at heart. He runs Bible studies for our kids on Monday evenings. You would think in our neck of the woods that you wouldn't get many kids. We have a room full of kids who come without their parents, making them come. who don't come because they want to do anything else but come to a Bible study. Crazy, huh? Friday night, they had a movie night. There are board games evenings. There are camps in the summer. We have something called a teen leadership camp. So if you have teenagers who want to, looking at you, sorry, not singling you out, but who need to complete your 40 hours for high school, we will take your teenagers for a week and allow them to volunteer, very supervised, within the context of the of 541. And also as part of that, there's a spiritual life component, so that at the end of the week, they've accrued a nice lot of hours, often about 40, for their requirement. But they've also got a really good grounding. And a lot of those teens then go on to say, I want to volunteer at 541. And that group is made up of quite a lot of the neighborhood kids who otherwise wouldn't have a very structured and easy way of getting their hours to graduate. And it just all of this is to encourage and keep them in through high school to graduate. We also have a soccer camp in the summer, which we did for the first time last year, which was slightly crazy making, but a lot of fun. So there's our youth outreach. On a Wednesday night, we have something that I actually started at Mission Services. We have a drop-in for men. It's a Yucca evening. It's run by some volunteers from Dundas Calvin Christian Reformed Church, and they all call me Pastor Sue with a great Dutch accent. I have tried for years to say, couldn't you just call me Sue? Yes, Pastor Sue. Okay, I give up. Anyway, they've been working with me at Mission Services for a number of years, and all they do is they come in and they play Yucca. It's playing Yucca for Jesus, I call it. And we make the coffee. They used to make the coffee when I worked at Mission Services, and their coffee was better than my coffee, but now my coffee is better than their coffee. So now I provide the coffee, and they come with baked goods that their church ladies have made. And for many of our guys, it's a real high point in the week. It's a place of safety because there's no alcohol at our 5:41, so there's no temptation. The only requirement that night is that they're clean and sober. So if it wasn't so good in the morning, by the time if they can keep it together for the afternoon, they can come in the evening. And for many of the people that I talk to, that's pretty important. It's also totally transformed Calvin Christian Reformed Church over the years, but that's another story. I want to tell you a little bit about the meeting place. The meeting place started not because I had a great yearn to start a church, because I really didn't, but because my boss at the time at Mission Services told me that he wanted me to start running a chapel service. And I had two very spiritual thoughts that went through my head. One was, I don't know how to run a church. And the other was, there go my weekends. I was actually right about both. I didn't know how to run a church, and there went my weekends. But we started, and it grew, and it grew, and then eventually when I knew it was time to leave Mission Services, the one thing that I had to say to God was, what do you want me to do about this church, because that isn't a church, because I can't just walk out and leave them? And so when I found this idea of 541 about to start and got asked to work there, it really was God's timing and God's provision, because now we have a place to meet on a Sunday afternoon and a place to cook and eat supper together. So we open the doors at 3, we start worship at 4, and we eat together at 5, more or less. And I would say that our congregation looks very different from you. For a start, you're terribly quiet, and none of you have gotten up and walked around, and none of you have gone out for a smoke. At least if you have, you've done it very quietly. And none of you have started a conversation on your cell phone just as I began to talk. What is that about? It's like, hello. It makes me laugh, and sometimes, depending on the weekend, it gets me irritated, and I try and be saintly, and I don't always work, don't always manage it. But anyway, we do this church thing together, and over the years, we've baptized a number of us. Once a year, we rent a school bus, we rent a pavilion out, now it's at Valens, and we drive out, and come rain or shine, it's always actually not rained, it's been brilliant. And we baptize people in the lake, and then we have celebrate communion together, and we have a barbecue together. And just as in that movie that you mentioned, that camp was the only time that people get out of the North End, that's the same for our people. On the way out, the bus is noisy and excited, and people are teasing each other, and some people start singing, and it's just great. And on the way back, it's almost silent, because they know they're not going to do this for another year. You know? I remember when helping at True North Camp at Mission Services and kids not knowing where we were going, but saying, I think we're going to Dundas. Like it was the other side of the world, you know? We were going way past Dundas, they didn't know that. But it's the same for our people from our neck of the woods, that it's just something pretty important to get them out, just even if it's just once a year. And we're going to do that at the end of July. We've already booked it. One of the things that I think is important, you do it at Welcome Inn and we do it too, is that we know our friends by their names. They're not people who just come into a soup kitchen. They're our friends. They care for us as we care for them. So that today when I go and open up in a couple of hours to get ready for church tonight, Jackie will come with her walker and she will expect that I will let her in early because her job that she has taken on herself is that she will make the salads and she will also organize people and tell them off if they're not doing things right. I don't have to do anything. If somebody asks me a question, I say, I don't know, ask Jackie. Because it's Jackie's thing, but I remember the first time Jackie came to church. She didn't know one end of the Bible from another. She didn't know the gospel. And since then, Jackie's been baptized and tells people about the gospel and leads us in prayer and says grace before we eat supper. And I think Jackie has become who probably Jackie was created to be because she has been allowed to make decisions, to have some agency, to be a real sheep. She can now welcome other people the way that she was welcomed. I could go on, and I think that's probably more than enough. And if you've got questions, you can ask me later. But I guess I'll just end like this. You know, sheep are sort of cute, fluffy, animals. And sometimes it's sort of, you know, it's lovely to dress cartoony sheep up as who we're supposed to be. Actually, it's really tough sometimes. This last week or so, we had an assault. You may have read about it in the Spectator. Highly sensationalized accounting, both on CBC and the Spec. But that was really tough because we really do try to be very careful to keep everybody safe in our space. And at that one time, we couldn't. And I don't think we thought about it afterwards. I don't think there was any way to have predicted what was going to happen. And that shook a lot of people up, our staff included, and we've worked quite hard to look after them and to look after our volunteers and to be very present for those in our community. So nobody ever said this was going to be easy, doing sheepy things, but I don't think it's going to stop us, and I hope it doesn't stop you guys in your support of Welcome Inn, because it's incredibly important what we do, and I think it's building the kingdom in the north end of Hamilton, and bless you for everything that you do to make that happen. Amen.